The body of water in Galilee, which is the setting for today's reading, is called by three different names: the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and the Sea of Gennesaret. It's 13 miles long by 8 miles wide. It's a very big lake. It lies in a dip in the Earth's surface, and it's actually 680 feet below sea level, giving it, it's almost like a tropical climate there. And nowadays, it's not very populous, but in the days of Jesus, it had 9 townships, none of which was smaller than 15,000 people. Okay? Simon fished there off, that's where he would fish. And the call begins with a surrender of his will to that of Christ. Right? He's been out there fishing all night, and nothing, they caught nothing. And the lake is known for its schools of fish, sometimes a mile long. So to catch nothing would be disheartening. And while he recognized Jesus only as a wise and holy rabbi, he was nonetheless obedient to him and let down the nets. So he's not arguing with Jesus or anyone when he says, you know, because he says, listen, we toiled all night, we didn't catch any, but if you say so, we put down the nets. And lo and behold, of course, they were graced with a great catch of fish. A modern fisherman today might argue with Jesus. My fish finder doesn't show any fish. My GPS numbers are not for this area. My experience says that it's a waste of time. And we can too find it difficult to surrender our will to that of Christ. We may feel that what he has asked of us is too difficult in our times. We may feel that his message has changed in our time. And we may feel that we know better what we should do because we are more enlightened than in the past. But surrendering our will completely to that of Christ is what is required if we are to receive a bounty, not of fish, not of material things, but an overflowing bounty of graces. Jesus himself surrendered his will to that of the Father. John's Gospel has several direct quotes from Jesus on this surrendering of his will to that of the Father. If we look at John's Gospel in the 4th chapter, Jesus says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me." My food, that which I live on, is to do the will of him who sent me. In the 5th chapter, he says, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." How difficult is that for us to seek the will of him who loves us rather than our own will? And then again in the 6th chapter, he says, "I have not come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." So there's three examples of Jesus emphasizing that he came onto the earth to do his Father's will. Surrendering of the will is a necessary predicate to success in other aspects of life. Paul, you know, was wont to use military analogies a number of times. Putting on the armor, right? The helmet of salvation. Okay? In a military, in basic training, soldiers are taught to surrender their will to that of the army. It doesn't mean that they become mindless robots. That's said only by those who haven't been there. Okay? But rather that they surrender their will to that of the military so that by doing so, they are free to excel at soldiering. They certainly can't excel at soldiering if they're going to go off the unit and everybody do their own thing. Right, Julie? I assume that applies in the Air Force as well. Right? Okay? Everybody has to be doing that which is the desire of the Air Force, for example, or the Army. They choose to obey even though they do not fully understand at times. Sometimes we understand what the will of God is, but we have difficulty understanding the why. Right? We understand what is required, but we have trouble with the why. Nonetheless, we're bound to obey. Recently, someone said to me, I know that God wants us to tithe, and I do it, even though I am still not sure why I'm supposed to tithe, other than he says so. For that person, the very submission of their will to that of God's will answers the question of why. See, by tithing, they overcome what? They were at the same time learning to get control over material things, and while getting control over material things, they were getting control over themselves. It's so good for us to submit ourselves to God. When we don't submit ourselves to God, it's when we get into trouble. When hierarchs don't submit, you get the problems that we faced in the OCA, both nationally and in some of the dioceses. When priests don't submit themselves to God and his church and to their bishop, we get parishes that suffer and priests that do their thing rather than God's own will. When we fail to submit to the will of God as expressed in the scriptures and in his church, we fail to be the true people of the way. Sometimes pride gets in our way. Maybe the priest thinks that he knows more than the bishop, so he ignores the directives and the counsel of the bishop to his detriment and his people's detriment. Sometimes the parishioner may think that he knows more than the priest, and he probably does. That won't be hard. But then he ignores the counsel and the preaching of his spiritual father. The need to submit both to God and to those over us is expressed by the author of the letter to the Hebrews. And in the 13th chapter, it's written, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. I would tell you that it is with great joy that I'm here. When I'm away, separation makes the heart grow fonder. It's certainly true for the pastor and the parish. When I arrived at Kennedy International, I made two phone calls. The first was to Anne Marie to see that she and her husband and her daughter were fine, and then to Sue to make sure everything was good here. Right? To be told that you guys were experiencing a foretaste if you're not good. Okay? That it was hot here Sunday. All of us, regardless of our position, are called upon by God to submit ourselves freely to his will as expressed in the scriptures and in the teachings of the church. Just as we tithe to gain control over material things, we submit ourselves that in giving up our will, we may gain control over it. And that sounds like such a contradiction. By giving up our will, we gain control over it, and we are freed then to be people of the way. What keeps us from being followers of Christ to the very best of our ability is our own free will. We choose to go in a different direction. And we kick against the goad. But if we can get that will under control and subject it to God's will, we will truly be people of the way. Let's remember then that the more we draw close to God, the more he will draw near to us, and by doing so, we are freed like the soldier to be his followers. James expressed this in his epistle, and his admonition is a valuable lesson to take with us today. James writing in the fourth chapter of his letter. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Good words for us to take home with us. Submit to God. Resist the devil. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.